Glad to be here this morning once again and to share God's Word. It's a blessing being here. I'm blessed every time I come with the atmosphere you have here. Thank you. Good atmosphere and warmth. So keep inviting me. You know, I worked in the Hispanic work for so long that many of the pastors don't know I speak English also, so I don't get invited to, but it's always nice to be in a church where I can worship, and I love the fellowship here. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will continue in our midst. We ask, God, that as we study your word this morning, we pray that you may open it up to our minds, our hearts, and continue blessing us, Lord, during this day. For we ask in Christ's name, amen. You know, I have the habit of getting up early and walking. I enjoy taking walks. And I live in La Sierra, Riverside, La Sierra area. And I like to walk there in a certain part of the neighborhood because it's hilly. There are streets that, you know, they have a, they're steep. And so some are not so steep, but I enjoy walking and getting my exercise, and I get a good workout walking through those streets. And one morning, I guess it was around, I left around 6 in the morning, and it was still kind of dark. And I was walking up this steep street, and, you know, all of a sudden, I was attacked by a dog. And I walk around with a stick. And so, but I didn't see him. He just came up, and I all of a sudden I heard a sound, and I turned around. I pointed the stick, and I tried to go back, and I fell. And with the adrenaline, I guess I got up real fast, and I just kept the stick, and he was trying to get me. It was a boxer, about so big, strong, furious, you know, and just trying to get at me. So I tried. He was trying from different angles to get to me. Kept putting the stick out there. Then I prayed. And something interesting happened. You know, he started looking up like that. Then he would go like this. He looked peaceful, like if he was looking at someone. I kept walking away. And finally, I got away. I don't know what he was looking at. I hope he was looking at an angel, my guardian angel. But I was able to continue walking, and I saw him go back into his yard. But I tell you, I had a fearful experience that morning. He really scared me. I wasn't expecting him. And later on that evening, I went over to the home because I did fall and I hurt my elbow. So I went to talk to the neighbors because I had seen that dog behind the gate. And so I went over and I had talked to some other lady that had a similar experience. She says, it was terrible. So I went over and I spoke to him. Let him know that I gotten hurt. He had knocked me down. And so I can walk through there pretty safe now. They have them, they put two barriers so he can't get out. But fear is something we all experience. And we find the disciples experiencing fear in that storm. Dr. Gary Collins, a Christian counselor and professor of psychology at the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, he has much to say about fear. He says, when he talks about fear and anxiety, he sees them closely related. In fact, sometimes he uses fear and anxiety kind of interrelated or interchangeable. He points out that there are varying degrees of fear. There is acute fear that comes with phobias. That kind of fear really needs professional help and even medicine. But then there's moderate fear and there's normal fear. That also, the acute fear lasts longer, and the moderate and normal fear, it's of a shorter duration, but it can be intense. Like in my situation there, I was really intense as I tried to fight that dog off. Some of the common causes of fear and anxiety are when we feel threatened or we feel in danger, such as natural disasters, storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, fires, which we've experienced these past years, and in other parts of the country and world. Another cause for fear and anxiety is separation. When one is separated from a loved one because of death or a divorce, or when a loved one moves out of the home, even out of the state. And also there is fear and anxiety when there's financial and emotional insecurity. The words "fear not" are repeated in the Word of God. You know, don't fear. And in the book of Mark, we find the disciples. We find them in a life and death situation, not in the middle of the storm. And the Bible says that they were exceedingly fearful. The Word says that this great storm arose in the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. And it was no ordinary storm, because these were sailors, and they were fighting a storm of great proportions. We find the story, once again, let's read the story in Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 to 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I crossed the Sea of Galilee with some pastors. We went on a tour. We visited Israel. The lake is 6 miles across and very scenic. In Christ's day, it would take several hours to cross that lake on a rowboat. It is surrounded by valleys, mountains. But I could not describe this scene taking place as the Bible describes it better than this quote I'm going to read for you at this time. It says, "The wind swept wildly down the mountain gorges along the eastern shore, and a fierce tempest burst upon the lake. The waves lashed into fury by the howling winds, dashed fiercely over the disciples' boat, and threatened to engulf it. They were helpless in the grasp of the tempest, and hope failed them as they saw their boat was filling with water." Desire of Ages 3:34. You know, when this great storm convinced the disciples that they were going to die, they were going to perish, they forgot two things. Number one, that Jesus was in the boat. They forgot that he was in the boat. He was comfortably asleep, his head on a pillow. The truth of the matter is that as long as Jesus was in the boat, it could not sink. But the storm was so violent, the scripture says, the storm cloud so dark that the disciples forgot that Jesus was in the boat. When we find ourselves in danger or threatened with natural disasters around us, or by financial or work-related challenges or sickness, we sometimes forget that Jesus is at our side that He is with us. But He's there. Another fact they forgot in the middle of the storm were the words of Jesus, who said in verse 35, He said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Jesus always fulfills His word. He always fulfills His word. He told them that they were going to the other side of the lake, where Jesus had ministry to do in the region of Galilee. Much of Jesus' work took place in the region of Galilee. He had a ministry on the other side of the lake. But they forgot. Here we find the disciples lacking in faith because He had told them clearly, we're going to the other side of the lake where there is preaching to be done, teaching to be done, healings to be done. How often do we ourselves forget God's promises in a moment of crisis? When we find ourselves in financial difficulties or with the fear of losing our employment in these difficult, trying times, or we have difficulty finding a job, like the disciples, we sometimes forget God fulfills His promises. He fulfills His word. Our faith must not falter in these moments when we find ourselves in the eye of the storm. What is faith? Faith believes that God will do what He has promised in His word. We're told that His promises are enablings. In other words, the answer is in the promise. So all we need to do is step out in faith, believe, and God will come through for us like He did for these disciples. When they finally awoke Him from His sleep, He immediately arose and rebuked the wind. Verse 39. While the disciples were in control of the situation, trying the best they could to save themselves, what was Jesus? Jesus was resting. But as soon as they cast all their fears, all their anxieties upon Jesus, He took control, and they rested. This continues to be true today. It is true that we have responsibilities, we have skills and abilities God has given us, but God must be in ultimate control. Only God is big enough to take control when we're in the middle or in the eye of the storm. The principle works this way. If we're in control, He rests. God allows us to fall or mess up our situation, fall flat on our faces. This happened to me many times. And like the disciples, we find ourselves in real difficult situations. But when we allow Him to take control of the situation, we rest. And we release control to Him, and we experience the peace that they experienced after they awoke Him. You know, some people have a problem with control. There are many people that like to take control. I've known people I worked for and people I've worked with that like to control the situation. They micromanage, you know, they have this in them that they want to control. And this word control becomes a very negative word for them. But you know, I like what Pastor Morris Vinden, he's retired, and he's written several books. And when he talks about the control that God wants to have over us, he says it's a palatable control. It's a caring, loving control. Not overwhelming, overbearing. And there's freedom in God's control. There's parameters, but there is freedom. Now, we are told by psychologists that fear and anxiety can have unhealthy effects on us. Some of the common effects are physical reactions, you know, headaches, back pains. Even some people break out in a rash, even ulcers. And there are psychological effects or reactions to fear and anxiety. It affects our thinking. It affects our memory. We cannot remember things. And it also affects our creativity, our originality. It even affects the smooth relationships we have with people. So fear can affect us, affect our mind and our memory. I had a friend that was brilliant in college. And when he would take an exam, he'd do poorly because of the fear and anxiety. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't get good grades because he'd have these anxiety attacks. And he started praying about it. He started seeking the Lord, and he started seeking help for that. And he was able to overcome. But if there's students here, when you're going to take an exam, if you're all nervous, if you're all full of fear and anxiety, your mind will not work well, and your memory. So we need to seek that help. I'm going to give some ways to improve this. As you know, in the scale of fears, public speaking is one of the highest. I had a friend when I was in the seminary, and he was telling me he was pastoring a church. I think it was his second sermon. He decided to memorize it. And he was doing fine till a kid ran right past his, right in the front, ran across the front, and he went blank with the nervousness and with the anxiety. But he was able to recover. Good thing. He was able to recover, and he was able to finish his sermon. But there's also the fear of failure. Another reaction, psychologists tell us that one of the greatest fears is the fear of failure. The fear of failing in a relationship, such as a marriage, a boyfriend, girlfriend. The fear of failing in a business adventure or a job. The fear of failing in a career or a profession. The fear of failing academically in school. These are just a few of the reasons why the fear of failure keeps people from trying. And that's what's sad. There are persons that have the skills, the ability to start a business, a profession. And the fear of failure keeps them from reaching their potential. There are also healthy reactions to fear and anxiety, such as spiritual reactions. Fear can motivate us to seek Jesus in the time of need and to cast all our anxieties, all our fears upon Him and give Him control of our lives. And once again, there is normal fear, which is healthy because it protects us from a dangerous situation. It gets us out of a way of danger. How can we prevent lessen fear and anxiety that affects us physically, psychologically, and emotionally? We go back to our passage. Jesus said to the disciples, why don't you have faith? You have no faith. We need to trust. We need to believe in Jesus Christ. Faith and trust in the Lord. We must walk by faith. Proverbs 3, a well-known passage, one of my favorites, verses 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. We need to put our trust in Him. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear God, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, and strength to your bones. We need to trust, put our trust, our faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, casting our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. We find this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for us. Another way, another prevention of fear and anxiety is embracing God's love. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. The love of God is the only source of absolute security. And all of us can have it. Consider what John is teaching us here about living secure in Christ. Embracing God's love, when we embrace God's love, it gives us confidence. We know He loves us and wants the very best for us. And we also need to enjoy God's love. Enjoy it. There's so many ways that God manifests, shows us His love. And we're told that it eliminates fear and insecurity. And we can love others only because God has given us His love. He has put His love in our hearts. So we need to remember to embrace His love. Remember that He loves us and cares for us, wants the very, very best for us. Yet another prevention, which is no mystery, is prayer. Fervent prayer. A lesson we can learn from the disciples is to make Jesus the first option and not the last. They were so busy trying to save themselves in the middle of this storm, in the eye of the storm, that they forgot that Jesus was there. They needed to go wake Him up. But after they had tried to save themselves, we need to make prayer our first option. We find ourselves in a difficulty. When we find ourselves going through difficult times, we need to put Him, seek Him first. We need to make Christ first in our lives. You know, I'm in the church because of God's grace and because of a mother. I have a mother that would pray for me. I remember when I used to come late at night, out with my friends, having a great time. And I remember coming into my house. And I walked by my mother's room. The door would be partly open. It was late at night. And there was a light. And I'd see her on her knees. And more than one time, I heard her praying for me. And she would pray. And it had its effect on my life. There's power in prayer when we pray. There's a beautiful quote that I enjoy, and it's found in medical ministry. It says, if we neglect to pray for the sick, we deprive them of a great blessing. For angels of God are waiting to minister to their souls in response to our petitions. That's a quote from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, where the angels are ministering spirits. And when we pray, the angels are waiting to minister in our behalf for a loved one. It could be a son or a daughter. It could be a husband. There's power in prayer, fervent prayer. I remember when I was in the Army. And when I was in basic training, they took us up to a mountain. It was called Camp Bullis, I remember. And there was up in that mountain, there was a field. And we got up there, and we were kind of lined up our barracks. We were lined up on the side. And there were machine guns every 5 feet apart. They were manned. And then we were told to line up under them. And we were to crawl 100 yards while they shot over our heads. And I remember the instructions given to us that we were supposed to keep our heads down, don't stand. And then they gave us, we were on the side still, they gave us an example. They fired the machine guns and you could just see red. There was some young men there, some soldiers who were really scared. They were really afraid. But you know, I had trusted. I trusted my commander. I trusted the people, the soldiers that were manning those machine guns. And I remember when we finally got on the ground and they give the signal for us to crawl 100 yards. And it seemed like those, we could just see red over our heads. And crawling as fast as we could, we're supposed to make it to the other end, and we weren't supposed to get up till the firing stopped, till everyone got there, and then we were supposed to go, and another group was supposed to come in. But you know, I believed in those the words of the instructor that told us what to do, what we had to do. There would be no problems. Just crawl. They wanted to get us ready at that time for Vietnam. And so, but it was an experience I won't forget, but I really wasn't scared because I trusted. I trusted that what they had said, what we needed to do, we followed the instructions, all was going to be fine. And it was. So it's important. Important that when we find ourselves in difficult times, when we find ourselves like the disciples in the eye of the storm, let us remember to, first of all, when we find ourselves in fear, to trust God. Put Him first. Put all our faith in Him. And cast all our cares, our anxieties, because He cares for us. And give Him control of our lives. And He will do that. And embrace His love. God loves us so much. He died for us. He paid the price for our sins to save us. We're saved by what Jesus has done and is doing for each one of us. We're saved by His righteousness. We're saved by not our righteousness, but His. One of my favorite texts is Isaiah 61:10. Where we're told that it says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices with my God. For He hath clothed me with robes of righteousness, with garments of salvation, and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Like a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest. And it says, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Isaiah 61:10 says, He has arrayed us with His robe of righteousness. We're covered with the righteousness of Christ. And for lastly, fervent prayer. Let us make prayer the first priority, not the last priority, like the disciples. God arose quickly once they went to Him and said to Him, we are perishing right away. And He'll enter into action when we have faith in Him and trust in Him and go to Him, not as our last option, but as our first option. He's always there to help us, to bless us. So this passage of Scripture lets us know, no matter what we are going through, I don't know what situation you're going through today or have gone through, God is there in the middle of the storm. He's there to help us, and He will take care of us, and He'll get us safely to the shore. God bless you.